From the studios of WXXI, this is Backstage Pass. I'm Julia Figueres. Today, we have a double celebration as we present our 150th Backstage Pass. Pegasus Early Music prepares to begin season number 15. Deborah Fox, artistic director of Pegasus Early Music, has rounded up three brilliant viola da gamba players for a program of French and English Baroque music. So join us for a show that's simply viols, next on WXXI. Welcome to Backstage Pass, which is made possible in part by a gift from Drs. Dawn and Jack Lipson to support performance, innovation, and accessibility of the arts in the Rochester community. I'm Julia Figueres, and Pegasus Early Music has got a birthday cake on the table today as we celebrate season number 15. So let me introduce you to the wonderful players who join us today. We have three viola da gamba players. First off, David Morris. Welcome, David.
Hey, thanks.
Nice to have you here. Lisa Terry is here.
Hi, delighted to be here.
Great to have you here. And you may have heard Bei Liang Zhu's name before. She's been played on Performance Rochester, and it's wonderful to have you here. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
And of course, our friend Deborah Fox. Deb, congratulations.
Thank you. Hi, Julia.
It's 15 years. Let's start at the very beginning. Why did you decide to start Pegasus Early Music?
Pegasus grew out of a lot of conversations I had with my professional friends, musician friends, like those assembled here. Sort of the, wouldn't it be fun to play a concert of this music or by putting those two musicians together? And it kind of came at a time in Rochester where there wasn't a lot of professional early music going on. And at a time when, after 25 years of freelancing, I wanted to be home more. So a lot of great things converged at the same time, and I decided to start a concert series.
You have been on Backstage Pass any number of times. Here's a question I've never asked you. The name, Pegasus Early Music, how did you alight on that?
Pegasus was actually the name of a group that I was in for a while that didn't last very long. And we just liked the image of the flying horse. Pegasus in mythology was actually the horse who pawed open the spring from which the muses drank. So we figured that that was an appropriate symbol.
Very appropriate, and a lovely image as well. Now, when you started, you played around a lot. These days, your musical home is the Downtown United Presbyterian Church. But when you started, you played in a whole lot of different venues around town.
We did. We started at the Academy of Medicine, which was a lovely salon, very small, because I really only expected 40 people to come to each concert. But in fact, it was double that the first year, and then we added a few concerts. And then I just started looking for a place with beautiful acoustics, and we found that in the Downtown Presbyterian Church.
It's also a beautiful venue. Do you feel a beautiful space enhances
yes.
the experience?
Absolutely, absolutely. The beautiful Tiffany windows and the high ceiling. It's a space that's quite large, but it feels very intimate, and it's wonderful to play in because you don't have to push the sound at all. You just play, and it's clear and warm.
So over your 15 years, what does or does not work for a venue, Deb?
Ooh, a venue where there's a loud ventilation system, a venue where the seats are too hard for the audience, a venue that's not accessible. There are a lot of interesting, sort of edgy venues around, but you have to be careful. For us, particularly because our instruments are quiet, we really need a quiet space, and that's what I look for the most.
So starting Pegasus Early Music was really a leap of faith, Deb. Day one, season one, did you think at the start of season one that you'd be seen as season 15?
No, I had no clue. I had no clue. I was just doing it because it seemed like a great thing to do, and I wanted to invite my friends to play with me. In fact, Lisa played on the second concert of the first year. So it's been a nice journey.
It has been a terrific journey, and we'll talk more about the journey that you've taken. We'll also meet these wonderful viola da gamba players here on Backstage Pass as the show progresses. We're starting in England with Christopher Simpson as all join in to play very appropriately September on Backstage Pass. September by Christopher Simpson. Pegasus Early Music joins me today on Backstage Pass. We heard David Morris, Lisa Terry, Bei Liangzhu, and Deborah Fox. We start to meet the musicians with Bei Liang, and I have to tell you, I love this in your biography. She experiences stories as the music happens. Every phrase could be an emotional reaction. A life's journey could be reflected in a five-minute prelude. What story do you hear in September?
I think I see... I usually have a scene that goes on. It might cut out or it goes on. This one, I see a lot of fall leaves swirl in the wind. You can see the background, everything blurred together. And then it calms down at the end when you realize winter is where everything comes in and gather energy. Well, I guess I shouldn't be talking about winter now.
We're tough. We can take it. You are a self-described story addict, Bei Liang. What does that mean?
I'll listen to a story anytime from anybody. I don't know. I'm fascinated by things that happen and people's emotions that come out of the stories, how they tell a story, and what they learn from them.
You actually collect stories. It says people can write to you on your website with a story.
Yes, I would love that. I've had people write to me, tell me a little bit about themselves, and why, how they found my playing, and why they connected to my playing. It makes up this globe for me in my mind.
You are also a really fine cello player. So how did you make that leap from the cello to the viola da gamba?
It was when I was at Juilliard. Our director back then was Monica Huggett, Baroque violinist. And we were just having lunch, and she said, "I think every cellist should learn how to play the viol, because it's easy enough to switch and you get a lot more work." So I thought, well, if Monica says so, I'll do it. And I picked it up, just fell in love with what I thought complemented the sound of cello in my personality.
See, now that was a great story.
Right.
Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Our guest today, Bei Liangzhu, who's part of Pegasus Early Music for a concert that is upcoming. And the next piece of music that we'll be listening to, I'm going to put Bei Liang back to work again, along with Lisa Terry and David Morris, as we hear three fantasias, each of them from an English composer, first William Byrd, then Orlando Gibbons, and finally Henry Purcell. This is WXXI. Thank you. Those were three Fantasias. That was Henry Purcell. Before that, Orlando Gibbons. And we started off with William Byrd, all English composers, played by Pegasus Early Music, David Morse, Mei Liang Zhu, and Lisa Terry, the viola da gamba players. Mei Liang gets to take a break for the next piece of music, but the hardest working person in backstage pass today is David Morse, who You're in everything.
Oh, I beg to differ. I can't hold a candle to these gals. So anyway, but I'm complimented nonetheless. So, but Lisa's switching twice, and I'm only switching once.
There
so.
You go. And I would like to talk to you about
please.
Because you've got this little thing. It's like a fat violin.
Yeah, sure.
And you don't play it under the chin.
No.
What is
it? So all these instruments are played between the legs, as the name viola da gamba implies. And it's just a tiny little, they come in, I used to say, Papa Bear, Mama Bear, Baby Bear sizes. And this is definitely the baby bear. The treble viol is the singing soprano voice of the group. And the tenor viol is guitar-sized, and it plays alto and tenor roles very well. And then the basses are very flexible. You can play up high on a bass, but quite low. These all have seven strings, the way the French liked them at the end, to have this big growly bass. So lots of options and a lot of range between the three sizes.
David, Gramophone magazine called you a continual wizard. So what's that all about? I mean, for somebody who doesn't know the lingo, can you talk us through continuo?
Well, I'm in a room of continuo wizards here, so I'm certainly not the only one. Playing continuo is playing those bass lines that are meant to have a chordal aspect that was what was driving music in the 17th and 18th centuries. And those of us who play a lot of this stuff just delight in the way this bass-driven, harmonically-driven music is really at the, it's at the soul of what we do. We're not soloists per se, but we're in charge. I used to say, in the way that a butler or a housekeeper was in charge of the house, you're not holding title, you don't have the fancy name or anything like that, but you're definitely keeping things going. You're the power behind the throne.
Yeah, everything falls apart without you.
You said it. So we all love doing this kind of playing.
You travel a lot. Where are you based?
I'm based in Oakland, California, in the Bay Area.
So you came a long distance to be here. Thank you.
It was my pleasure.
It's How did you get sucked into this world?
Drawn in the Pied Piper, Deb. I started playing kind of by accident with New York State Early Music, which Deb is now directing. But this is quite a few years ago, and they keep asking me back. And I keep coming back, and I really love it here. It's a second home, definitely. New York State is a second home for me. So
are your prices right, or are you just very good?
The music and the colleagues cannot be beat. So that's what keeps me coming back.
Because you travel a lot and you have a lot of things, is that hard?
In this case, all I did was bring this little tiny treble viol and Crystal Thielmann. I would say Thielka, because that's a viol builder. Thielmann very generously loaned me her gorgeous seven-string bass, which I'm going to be using in this. So we're in a gamba-rich corner of the United States here. And, you know, if that hadn't come through, Lisa or Bill Young could have pulled a few strings and gotten me some other instruments. So,
anyway. You and Lisa, so come on in, Lisa, join this conversation.
Hi.
You both teach the viola da gamba. Who are your students? Are they people who know about this instrument and have never played it before? Or
it's such a variety. I've never taught at an institution. I just teach privately and at workshops for adult amateurs in the summertime, or on weekend workshops or things like that. But that being said, often at these workshops, I'll have young professional players as my students, or I'll have 55-year-old people who are taking up the gamba late in life because it's so easily accessible to anybody who wants to learn to play this beautiful instrument.
Is it really that easy, a crossover, David, from one to the other?
Oh, my gosh. I think, well, this is a great starting instrument, first of all. It's great if you already play the cello, but if you don't, if you have the least bit of experience, say, with a guitar, or you took a violin lesson when you were 6 years old, there's a lot of what I call transfer credit involved.
So let's hear some of that transfer credit put together as we listen to David Morris and Lisa Terry. They'll be playing a duo for two bass viols by Matthew Locke on Backstage Pass.
Thank you.
duos for two bass viols by English composer Matthew Locke. David Morris and Lisa Terry were our viol players on Backstage Pass. Lisa, we have heard your voice, and now we've heard your viols. This is the big one. I noticed you're playing what I guess David would call the mama bear in the previous couple of pieces.
Is that right? Yeah, mama bear, right. The tenor viol, which is the kind of the ur viol, the viola da gamba. The Spanish lute called a vihuela was about that same size, a lot thinner in its bout from front to back, and was, of course, plucked and played with the fingers. And that was the instrument that was the magical invention of the viola da gamba. The vihuela was turned vertically, held between the legs, played with a bow. They had to change the bridge so that you could play one string at a time. But that was the first size viol, and it's really cool. Some of the old books talk about how if your strings break and you're only left with three strings, this is how you tune it so that you can play all the same notes easily. It's kind of cool to think that they couldn't easily replace their gut strings back in those days.
You are a much in-demand player. You are a full-time member of Parthenia in New York City. You are in Philadelphia's Tempesta de Mare, and you are also in the Dryden Ensemble in Princeton, which strikes me as, one, a lot of travel, and two, a lot of music. How much are you practicing all the time?
I'll tell you a story. I have to practice a lot, and if it's going to be a hard program, I have to prepare in advance a lot sometimes because I don't often have time to practice right before the event, and certainly during the week of rehearsals, there's never enough time to actually learn your part, so you have to come prepared. Last year was crazy. I seemed to always be just sitting down at a new city with a new book of music on my stand that I had not had time to prepare, really. But fortunately, it was all stuff that was familiar or accessible that I could handle it. But it causes stress sometimes to travel so much.
Yeah. I bet. You know, and I think about a musician who's playing more standard classical music rep, and you will go back to Beethoven symphonies regularly. You will go back to, you know, this standard rep on a regular basis. This is a group of music, a set of music that strikes me as very little standard and always something different or new.
That's the cool thing about our careers is that we can play with a lot of different groups and just get to do a huge variety of music. But even within Parthenia, we will never run out of programs. We've been together for a long time and doing a lot of concerts. For the last 20 years, a New York City series, say, you know, three concerts a year. And there's just a huge wealth of music from the three centuries that we draw from. So it's pretty cool.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah.
Deb, where are you finding all this music?
I ask my friends. Every time we put together a program, it's collaborative. So it'll start with an idea. Actually, David came up with the idea. Let's ask Lisa and Beliang to play a program. And then we all work on the selections together. And we have music in our file cabinets, online, and at wonderful places like the Sibley Music Library.
So let's cross the English Channel now. We have spent some time in England. Time to land in France. We will begin with a duo from a sonata for two viols by Bois Mottier. And this time around, David Morris plays again, and joining him will be Beliang Xu. You're listening to Backstage Pass. Thank you. Conversation of Vials on Backstage Pass. Those was duos for two vials by Bois Mottier. David Morris and Bei Liang Xu were our players. And I really need to start with you, Lisa, because I love watching you play and I love watching you listen, because you really, you're just smiling. You love this, don't you?
I got a review once for how I listened to the, do you know Brandenburg Six has two gamba parts, but the middle movement we don't play. And I got a review once for how I listened to that second movement. Wow. It's one of my favorite reviews.
It's like the best review ever. I want to talk about your instruments for a moment because they're so beautiful. Bei Liang, your instrument, if you can take just a moment to talk about your gorgeous viola, your viol, it's just, it's super lovely.
It was made by Judith Kraft. She's a very respected maker. I actually got this from another person, so I don't know the history about this instrument. I just feel very lucky to have it carved.
Talk about the scroll, because there is no scroll on this.
There is a head, this person with gorgeous hair, curly, wavy hair with a blue headband with a bow in the back. And there is carving of birds. And
it's just beautiful. This person who lives on the top of your viola da gamba. It's just lovely. And I know your mama bear, Viola da Gamba, has that beautiful sort of artwork in the midst of it as well.
And this, my bass viol also has an English type carved scroll,
right?
Open scroll, similar to what the tenor viol has.
Where do you find your instruments, Lisa?
We hear about them from colleagues. Somebody might be playing an instrument that you admire, or you start talking to friends or teachers about who are the good makers nowadays. A lot of people like to try to find an instrument that's older, that's been played in. It's hard to find those for sale. I commissioned this one about 20 years ago.
Is there such a thing, David, as a Stradivarius era?
Oh, my goodness, yes. During the 50s and 60s, a lot of these instruments went begging. They were found in pawn shops. They were in pieces. They weren't assembled. They'd been part of historic collections, but we didn't have a critical mass of people playing them quite yet. And that was the time to snap up a great old instrument. And now they're kind of unaffordable because there are people who want them, and they are being played and valued again. So you had to be there.
You're not playing your own viola da gamba.
No.
You're playing a borrowed one. Mm-hmm. Is there a learning curve between the one that's missing you in California and the one that you're playing in Rochester?
You know, a well-built viol, it's you're having a conversation with the instrument. You're learning what it likes, how it's different or whatever. But what are they like? What's a good metaphor for someone else's? It's like your dog at home is a nice dog, but this dog's really good too. And you went on a run today and it was really fun.
This is Lisa talking. I think certain players just adjust to a good instrument and can play it and sound like themselves. Mm. I think that's what you do.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you have all of your instruments in hand, and our last piece is a combining of all of your forces again. We have a suite from Book 4 of Pieces for the Viol by Marin Marais. And on Backstage Pass, we will hear David Morris, Lisa Terry, and Bei Liang Xu play their viola da gamba. And with the big theorbo is Pegasus Early Music, Artistic Director Deborah Fox. This is Backstage Pass. Thank you. A suite of pieces for the viol, Book 4 by Marin Marais, played by Pegasus Early Music. Our three viola da gamba players, David Morris, Lisa Terry, and Bei Liang Zhu, and Deborah Fox playing the theorbo. Deborah Fox, Deb. It's your 15th anniversary season and for Pegasus Early Music. And as I look through your previous seasons, you always have a show that's about women.
I guess
biased.
I do. I think there's a lot of music that hasn't been recognized or played that we're just finding. And I think there were a lot of women in the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th centuries that have not been heard. And a lot of this music is very wonderful.
And so you get to give them a voice. What an honor.
It is an honor, yes.
You look back for a minute. What are a couple of your favorite moments from Pegasus Early Music?
Oh, gosh. The last concert that we played. They're all my babies, all these concerts that we've done. You know, I love the very small, intimate concerts that we've done very early on. I did a concert with a singer and a poet of contemporary poems and 16th century lute songs, and I loved that. I loved, a couple of years ago, Bei Liang played Bach on cello and Bach on gamba. As we've grown over the years, we've been able to take on some bigger projects. So doing the Monteverdi Vespers was a treat and a thrill.
And you're about to do Monteverdi's L'Orfeo.
And we're about to do an opera next summer, Monteverdi's L'Orfeo, yes.
So the sky's the limit for where you can go.
Well, there are a lot of wonderful players out there and a lot of great ideas of music to do, and we just have to make it happen.
So give me one big wish list player. Who have you not been able to bring that you really want to bring?
They're all sitting in this room.
No.
You know, we've been really lucky through connections and friendships and music. The players who have come here, they're all on my wish list, and I couldn't ask for anything better.
We couldn't have asked for a more lovely hour. Thank you all for joining us for Backstage Pass. We are the lucky ones.
Thank you, Julia.
You're welcome, Deb. Our executive director and producer is Gene Fisher. Our audio technician is Andrew Croucher, with help from Robert Braden. And many, many thanks again, and congratulations on 15 years of brilliant music making to Deborah Fox and Pegasus Early Music, and to our gamba players, David Morris, Lisa Terry, and Bei Liang Zhu. I'm your producer and host, Julia Figueres. Backstage Pass is made possible in part by a gift from Drs. Dawn and Jack Lipson to support performance, innovation, and accessibility of the arts in the Rochester community. This is a production of WXXI Public Broadcasting.